بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فاصبر صبرا جميلا إنهم يرونه بعيدا ونراه قريبا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: يا معاذ، أحسن خلقك للناس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, in the beginning I must mention that this is my first visit to your country and obviously the first lecture, but I must admit and confess I have been received by some very warm brothers. May Allah reward them, bless them, protect them and guide them inshallah. I often say, and let me sound this word once again as the opening message of my talks that is to follow: if a person has the desire and the inclination to learn, to improve himself, to better his life, then Allah will make it possible for him to learn from everyone and every situation, whether junior to him or senior, apparently positive or negative. If a person has the aspiration and the desire that I want to improve, I want to better myself, Allah will inspire him to learn and heed from every occasion and happening. A very thought-provoking quotation is that of Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, whose wisdom was so profound that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledged it in the Quran by dedicating one chapter to the wisdom of Luqman. Suffice to say, in the wisdom of this individual, that Allah gave it recognition in the Quran. But very unique and very amazing, very strange and very peculiar, when someone asked Sayyidina Luqman, how did you learn wisdom? At whose feet did you acquire knowledge? Who inspired you to such height? And he gave such an amazing answer. He said, I learned wisdom from those who lack it. I learned wisdom from those who are devoid of it. Who's your teacher? The ignorant people. Who's your tutor? Those who don't have knowledge. So people said, and how is that possible? When you look at the profoundness and the accolades and the merits of a person, then in proportion to him, one imagines how great and profound his teacher would be. But when Sayyidina Luqman was asked, from who did you acquire? He said, I acquired it from those who don't possess it. So people asked him, and how is this possible? He said, every time I seen someone doing something wrong, I looked with the eye of learning and not the eye of criticizing. So I said, if this man's action looks wrong to me, it will look wrong to others when I do it. So I only started avoiding the mistakes of others, and Allah made me the wise Luqman. I did nothing more. Unfortunately today, we do not look with the eye of learning. So we frown, we object, we criticize the wrong of others. Yet when we assume position and we come in the driving seat, we commit the same errors, if not worse. Al-mar'u in kana 'aqilan 'alima, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said. Al-mar'u in kana 'aqilan 'alima. If a man is intelligent and wise, his sins and mistakes will occupy him from looking at the wrong of others. كَمَا الْعَلِيلُ السَّقِيمُ أَشْغَلَهُ عَنْ وَجْعِ النَّاسِ كُلِّهِمْ وَجْعُهُ. Just like a sick man who is admitted in the clinic in a hospital, and then you come to him and say, you know, the brother that was in the ward next door to you has recovered and he has been discharged from hospital. So what does the sick man say? I am so occupied with my sickness, I don't know who was admitted and who was discharged. I don't know who was next because I am so worried about my own illness. My brother, if you are probing and searching for the faults of others, that means you are cured. That means you are cured. So what did I say? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has said, Al-mar'u in kana 'aqilan 'alima. If a man is intelligent, his own weaknesses will preoccupy him. So who did Sayyidina Luqman learn from? He learned from the people who lacked it. And as Muslims, we have such a profound example in the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose every action from birth to death advocates guidance to us. Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has written an incident in his Al-Khasa'is Al-Kubra that our mother Halima Sa'diyya radiyallahu anha, the nursing mother who nursed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she said something very strange about the infancy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She said, كنت أعطيه الثدي الأيمن فيشرب منه ثم أحوله إلى الثدي الأيسر فيأبى أن يشرب منه. قال بعضهم وذلك من عدله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه علم أن له شريكا في الرضاعة. Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi has made mention in his Al-Khasa'is Al-Kubra on page 100, which is the Beirut print, that Halima Sa'diyya radiyallahu anha says, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a baby, he was an infant, I used to nurse him and I used to latch him onto the right side of my chest, and the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam would drink the milk. And then very politely and gently, I would latch him to the left side of my chest. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would refuse and decline to drink from the left side. The scholars of hadith, jazahumullahu anna khayral jaza, they dissect it, they unpack it, they explore it. Why did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink from the right side? And why did he refuse to drink from the left side? They say as a baby, his message was justice and fairness. I have a foster brother who also drinks milk. I don't want to drink the milk of my brother so that I can advocate justice to my ummah even as a child. Today, my brother, we want to usurp the rights of our partner. وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. In the 23rd juz in Surah Sa'd, very eloquently Allah says, and the average partner in business exploits, abuses, and expropriates and usurps the rights of his partner. Whereas the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was respect to his foster brother when drinking milk as well. I said in my opening comments, if I want to learn, I will learn from everyone. There was an imam who was preparing his Friday sermon, and his little son was bothering him, jumping around him. So to constructively engage the child, he found a map, he cut it into pieces, and he gave it to his son, and he said, apply your mind, let me see how good your geography is, put this map together, it's a puzzle,
I want to see if you can put the pieces of the world together. On the reverse side, on the flip side of this map, was the image of a man, of a human. So the Imam gave it to his son and he said, get busy with this, I'll prepare my sermon. Kill two birds with one stone. It wasn't long when the son had the map together. The father is like, amazed. My son, I know you're my son, so you might be good. But where did you learn so profound geography from? How did you know where's Asia, where's Africa, where's this continent? He said, Dad, on the flip side was the image of a human. I put his hands together, his legs together, his face together, and then the puzzle of the world fit in place. He said, my son, today you taught me something. If man comes right, the world is together. If man comes right, the world is together. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا وَنَهْجُو ذَا الزَّمَانَ بِغَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ وَلَوْ نَفَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا. I am a passionate fan of the poetry of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. May Allah fill his grave with nur. I very, very passionately promote it. It's so profound. It's so deep. It's so encompassing. It's so voluminous. He said, نُعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. We have the tendency of blaming this one and accusing that one and implicating that one. وَالْعَيْبُ فِينَا. Whereas the greatest defect lies within me. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. And besides me, there is no other problem at all. وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi goes on to say, we say the times have evolved, things have changed, conditions have deteriorated. There is a drop in a decline. He said, how about asking the earth to speak? We're blaming the time and the era and the climate and global warming and global this. Let's ask the earth to speak. The earth has seen the great, great giants of Islam, the great, great sons of Islam. وَلَوْ نَطَقَ الزَّمَانُ لَنَا هَجَانَا. If the earth has to speak, the earth would confess, I have never seen more wicked humans walking on my back than those walking on me today. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. He says a fox is a cunning animal. It is a sly animal. But it will never prey on its own. As cunning as it is, as sly as it is, as treacherous as it is, nay, it would be correct to say it's synonymous to treacherous nature. But as wicked and as cunning as it is, a fox will never prey on its own. A wolf will never kill another wolf. But the human race has stooped so low that one human will devour another human. One brother will do another brother down. The great giant, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, Musalman tu girte girte itna gir gaya ke Allah ki qasam ab girne ki jaga nahi rahi. Oh Muslim, you have fallen so low. You have collapsed so much. There is no more place to fall. There is no more place to fall. وَلَيْسَ الذِّئْبُ يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا دِيَانَتُنَا التَّصَنُّعُ وَالتَّرَائِي ونحن به نخادع من يرانا.
He said, what is left of our piety? To impress people. So we live for the stage. Wherever we can impress people, we can make a positive mark on people, we can show an action of piety. نخادع من يرانا. We try and deceive people. Again, I come to the opening comment that if we sit with the intention of learning, we will learn from all situations. Like Sayyidina Luqman said, he learned from those who lack it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us the ability to sit in gatherings with the zeal of learning. And I often say, we don't need information, we need transformation. We don't need information only, we need transformation. So we don't only sit with the intention of increasing my knowledge and my information. We need to imbibe that within ourselves to make the necessary transformation. As humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us such that we naturally, by our instinct, we incline towards beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that inherently, instinctively, in every human, we are attracted to beauty. Whether it's a beautiful house, a beautiful car, a beautiful woman, a beautiful child, a beautiful degree, whatever it is, as humans, we aspire to beauty. We incline towards beauty. In fact, even the prophets, the galaxy of prophets, are not exempted from this aspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 22nd juz in Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah says, لَا يَحِلُّ لَكَ النِّسَاءُ مِنْ بَعْدُ وَلَا أَن تَبَدَّلَ بِهِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ حُسْنُهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبًا. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the multiple spouses that Allah had given you, the 11 spouses and the consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after these spouses, it is not correct for you to take on another woman, nor can you substitute any of your spouses, even if you are attracted by their beauty. Which is a clear reflection, attraction to beauty is even found in a Nabi. However, the world today invites us to the beauty of materialism and the beauty of the things around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also invites us to three beauties. For many of us, perhaps we don't even know beauty exists in this form. And our topic is the ideal Muslim. And I promise you, my brother, if I have this beauty and you possess this beauty, we will be different humans as husbands, as fathers, as brothers, as humans, as citizens to our fellow non-Muslim citizens with whom we coexist in a harmonious way. Three beauties the Quran invites us to. So for now, the aspiration is a beautiful house, a beautiful car, a beautiful this. But the Quran speaks of three different beauties. Number one, the verse that I recited before you, فَاصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Allah says, acquire patience. But Allah doesn't want the ordinary patience. Allah wants the branded patience. You know, they look for the brand. We don't want the generic. We want the original. Not the duplicate, not the generic. The original that's on the market. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, acquire and develop patience. But not the generic one. The original patience. What is the original patience? Sabran jameela. The beautiful patience. What is the definition of beautiful patience? As-sabru alladhi la jaza'a fihi. The patience in which there is no moaning or groaning. Where you don't object against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One doctor told me, he says, Maulana, today we lack patience so much that even the patient who comes to the surgery doesn't have patience. The patient who comes to the doctor's surgery, even he doesn't have patience. The human nature has become such, kana al-insanu ajula. This computer is too slow. The data is too slow. Update it. We need something quick, swift, instant. This phone is taking too long. The network is too slow. My brother, you can press the button 10 times. It's not going to make a difference. What is beautiful sabr? One great scholar said, what is the definition of sabr? To swallow something bitter without frowning. What is patience? To swallow something bitter without frowning. Without making a frown on your face. Urwa ibn Zubair rahmatullah alayh was one of the great sons of Islam. Nay, not only him, his entire family. Amazing people they were. One day he was sitting, it's a long discussion. Urwa ibn Zubair, his brother Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu, and his other brother Mus'ab ibn Zubair and Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. They were sitting outside the Kaaba and they were discussing their aspirations. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu said, Ummiyati an amlik al Hijaz wa an anal al Khilafa. I have the desire to one day rule over Hijaz, and not for any evil reasons, but for good reasons, so that peace can reign, justice can prevail. His brother Mus'ab ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu said, Amma ana fa atamanna an amlik al Iraqain, al Basra wal Kufa. I wish I can rule and govern over Basra and Kufa. And Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who came from the lap of kings and rulers and monarchs, he said, إِذَا كُنْتُمَا تَقْنَعَانِ بِذَلِكَ فَأَنَا لَا أَمْلِكَ فَأَنَا لَا أَقْنَعَ إِلَّا أَنْ أَمْلِكَ الْحِجَازَ كُلَّهَا. I would like to rule over the entire Arabia. So they looked at Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu and they said, what about yourself? He said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ فِيمَا تَمَنَّيْتُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِ دُنْيَاكُمْ أَمَّا أَنَا فَأَنَا أَتَمَنَّى أَنْ أَكُونَ عَالِمًا عَامِلًا يَأْخُذُ النَّاسُ عَنِّي كِتَابَ رَبِّهِمْ وَسُنَّةَ نَبِيِّهِمْ وَأَحْكَامَ دِينِهِمْ وَأَنْ أَفُوزَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بِرِضَى اللَّهِ وَجَنَّتِهِ. May Allah bless you in your aspirations and your desires. I would love to become a scholar of deen, acquire the sciences of Islam, and then disseminate the sciences of Islam. Cutting a long story short, Allah then favored him, he got married, he had children. He was a very, very generous person. One day, the Khalifa, and at that time the capital was in Dimashq, in Damascus. The Khalifa of the time, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, had called Urwa ibn Zubair. So Urwa ibn Zubair decided to respond to the invite of the Khalifa, and with him he took one of his sons, his eldest son, with him. In Arabic they say, تَجْرِ الرِّيَاحُ بِمَا لَا تَشْتَهِ السُّفُنُ. Sometimes the wind blows in the opposite direction of which the boat is sailing. If the boat is sailing in a particular direction, the wind is blowing in the opposite direction. In English they say, problems never end, they only differ. Problems never end, they only differ. Meaning today is this, tomorrow is that. Life is changing all the time. When he got there to the Khalifa, his son that had accompanied went to play with the horses. And one of the horse gave him a blow and gave him a kick, which proved to be fatal and claimed his life. Kicked him, it proved to be fatal and claimed his entire life. So obviously it was very sad and tragic that he came to a place, responded to the invite, had to face this tragedy that he lost his son. Anyway, the arrangements were made for the burial of his son. When he went down in the qabr, in the grave, to bury his son, أصابته آكلة. While burying his son, he injured his foot. And it became so fatal that it started spreading. And soon the doctors decided the only way to rescue his life is to amputate his leg. So he lost his son. Now his entire leg was injured in the process of the burial of his son. The king was very sad, very disheartened, very traumatized by the crisis that had gripped his visitor. The doctors tried to save his leg, but nothing could be done. The only way was to amputate.
So anyway, they told him that, you know what, we're going to give you a tot of alcohol to put you off so that we can perform the surgery.
نَرَى أَن نُسْقِيَكَ شَيْئًا مِّنْ خَمْرٍ كَيْ لَا تَشْعُرْ بِالْأَلَمِ
So that you don't feel the pain.
So Urwa ibn Zubair said, هَيْهَاتَ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَسْتَعِينُ بِالْحَرَامِ فِيمَا أَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ
I don't believe that anything forbidden or unlawful can be the means of bringing comfort to my body in any way.
I don't believe that anything unlawful,
a person is having problems in his marriage and then he confides in a strange woman,
what we call emotional infidelity.
Emotional infidelity.
So he confides in a strange woman.
Obviously, it's across the gender line.
So it is exploited by evil intentions.
And before confiding, it goes to a further level. And ultimately, he perpetrates the crime of zina with that woman.
And how often don't we see this happening around us?
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, لا تأمنن على النساء ولو أخن ما في الرجال على النساء أمينوا إن الأمين وإن تعف فجهده لا بد أنه بنظرة سيخون القبر أوفى من وثقت بعهده ما للنساء سوى القبور حسون
Do not trust any man with a strange woman, even if it's your blood brother.
He says, when it comes to a woman, I never found anyone pious, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said.
Even if he is pious, his gaze will be roaming.
One person came to a doctor. He said, doctor, have you got anything for long life?
Now there's a lot of anti-aging products.
So the doctor said, get married.
So he asked the doctor, will it work?
He said, no, it won't work.
So he said, why must I get married?
He said, if you get married, the desire of long life will go away.
You won't have desire for long life.
They say by statistics, women live longer than men.
Why?
Because shopping doesn't kill, paying the bills kills.
Statistics prove that women live longer.
Why? Shopping doesn't kill, paying the bills kills.
Anyway, he said, no, you don't give me a tot of alcohol.
They said, okay, we want to sedate you.
He said, what is the pleasure if you sedate me and I don't feel the pain?
If my Allah has decided this for me, I must feel the pain, persevere the pain, endure the pain, so that I can feel the closeness with my Allah.
You know, my brother, I often say, and I say to the young boys,
if you have an ecstasy and a fun and a kick with a woman or alcohol or seen some pornography, by Allah there is a divine pleasure, the pious enjoy when obeying Allah.
Their pleasure is amazing.
أَهْلُ اللَّيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهْوِ فِي لَهْوِهِمْ
The pious, when they persevere and they comply and they speak to Allah,
the pleasure they get is far more wholesome, more encompassing, more pure than the fake supernatural pleasure that the sinners get while drinking or while committing any zina.
Fudala ibn Umair ibn Mulawwih.
Fudala ibn Umair ibn Mulawwih.
Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of the narration in Zadul Ma'ad.
I read the narration myself.
He came with the evil intention of assassinating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making tawaf, he came.
Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and said, "Afudalatu, are you fudala?"
He said, "Yes."
Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed hand on my chest.
Fasakana sadruhu.
He said, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand on my chest, instantly my hostility was dissolved and I started loving this man every second more and more.
And my intentions of assassinating disappeared and I loved him.
I embraced the faith. After embracing the faith, as I walked away from there, I used to chat with a girl. I used to have an immoral discussion, chat with a girl, emails to females. So this girl said to me, come, let's chat, let's have a discussion. What they say, no evil intentions, we are just friends. We mean good. You mean good? What's the definition of good? He said, قَالَتْ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ فَقُلْتُ لَا قَالَتْ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ فَقُلْتُ لَا يَأْبَى عَلَيْكِ اللَّهُ وَالْإِسْلَامُ لَوْ رَأَيْتِ مُحَمَّدًا وَقَبِيلَهُ بِالْفَتْحِ يَوْمَ تُكَسَّرُ الْأَسْنَامُ لرأيت دين الله أضحى بينا والشرك يغشى وجهه الإظلام. No, oh my girlfriend, that's the end of immoral discussion. When the verses were revealed, لا هن حل لهم ولا هم يحلون لهم لا هم يحلون لهم ولا هم يحلون لهم, that they are not permissible, your non-Muslim wife, for you, and you are not permissible for them. Umar radiallahu anhu had two non-Muslim wives at that time in his wedlock. When the verse was revealed, he instantly terminated relations. He didn't say, no, we're ending off the husband and wife, but we can still meet up one day for coffee. We can still be business associates. قَالَتْ هَلُمَّ إِلَى الْحَدِيثِ فَقُلْتُ لَا. I'm saying to you, my brother, delete all your evil contacts. You know not when the angel of death knocks your door. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, مَا إِن نَدِمْتُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ نَدْمِي عَلَى يَوْمٍ غَرَبَتْ فِيهِ شَمْسُهُ نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجَلِي وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ عَمَلِي. The saddest day in my life is that the sun rises and the sun sets, and I have lost one day and I have not come closer to my Allah. The sun rises, the sun sets. A day has gone by and I have not come closer to my Allah. My brother, for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the alarm bells are ringing. The panic alarm is ringing if a day has left and he hasn't come closer to Allah. You and I, our condition is really appalling. A day doesn't pass by without my evil increasing. Yesterday I cast a nasty glance. The next day I got chatting. The third day I got intimate. And the fourth day the ultimate crime has committed. Yet there is no cause for panic in my life. One person conducted an interview, and a giant and a panel of scholars were interviewed from a very broad spectrum. And everyone was asked one question. Suppose you were told this is your last day, and before the sun will set you will die. How would you like to spend the last hours of your life? This was the interview question. And the aim of the interviewer was to compile this, to motivate people to appreciate the spiritual wish list. The spiritual wish list of the pious. Like every man has a wish list, and every woman has a wish list, and every child and every human has. The object of this interviewer was to understand the spiritual wish list of the pious. Anyway, everybody gave their answer. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, if I am asked, and I am told it's my last few hours, I would love to acquire knowledge. لو أوحى الله إليك أنك ميت العشية ما أنت صانع اليوم. What would you do? He said, I would acquire knowledge. So everybody said, someone said, I would love to perform tawaf. Someone said, I would love to serve my mother. While serving my mother, the angel of death takes off my soul. That's the best thing. But the most profound answer was given by the muhaddith of that time. They came to him, they asked him, if you are told it's your last day and you have few hours left, what would you do? He said, I will do nothing different compared to what I do every day. So simply because I live every day as if it's my last day. If I am told that you have 3 hours, I will not change my agenda. I will not change my itinerary. I will not have a change in my program. Because I pretty much live every day of my life as if it is my last day. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, كل يوم يقال فيه مات فلان ومات فلان ولا بد من يوم يقال فيه مات عمر. Every day you hear Ibrahim died and Yusuf died and Qasim died. One day you will hear Umar ibn Khattab also has passed away. And the day came and that day is going to come to me. Anyway, coming back to the quality of beautiful patience. So they said, we want to sedate you. He said, no, I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy what Allah, there is a spiritual ecstasy. I haven't, you know, when you go to Makkah, Medina, may Allah take us all. And then the Arabs, you see, they drink that qahwa of theirs. And they drink it very relishly. And if you try and drink it, it's quite bitter. It's not all that palatable. And then you tell him, like, how do you drink it? He says, you've got to acquire the taste. It's an acquired taste. Acquire the taste, and then you would love it. My brother, the pleasure of obeying Allah is an acquired taste. When you acquire the taste, then by Allah, you will find it difficult to lift your head from prostration. Just as it's difficult to put it down today, I swear by Allah in whose control is my life, Allah give it to me, Allah give it to you. You will drop your head down in sajda, you won't able to raise it. Hours will pass. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُو. Asma bint Abi Bakr spent the whole night reading one ayah, this ayah. Whole night. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu spend a whole night reading one ayah. This is when you are introduced. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, سهري لتنقيح العلوم ألذ لي من وصل غانية وطيب عناقي. For me to stay up by night and read the Quran gives me more comfort than sitting with a woman that's naturally beautiful on the first night of marriage at the most exotic place in the world. And these were not exaggerations, this was divine pleasure Allah gave them. Our goal is that. One great scholar, after sitting years in the company of his mentor asked him, what did you achieve? He said, obeying Allah became my temperament. Just like if you don't eat, you're restless. You don't sleep, you're restless. If I don't obey Allah, I'm restless. Obeying Allah has become my temperament. It has become my nature. I cannot do without obeying Allah. Anyway, they amputate the leg. When the leg was amputated, he became unconscious. When he regained his consciousness, he said, bring my leg to me. When the leg was given to him, as Muslims, Islam teaches us respect and dignity for every organ and limb of our body. We bury the hair that we trim, we bury the nails that we clip. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Indeed, we've dignified the human race. And we've carried him on land and on water. And we've provided for him from the wholesome provisions of this earth. So we bury everything. And we believe preservation of human dignity is that we bury. That is why when Qabil killed his brother Habil, again over what? Over the element of jealousy.
Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, كُلُّ عَدَاوَةٍ تُرْجَى إِزَالَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَدَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدِي. You can put an end to all hostility and enmity and antagonism, but the hostility that stems from jealousy, there's no cure for that. These are the words of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Imam Ismaili, a great authority on the Arabic language, he said, I met an elderly man at the age of 120. I marveled at his health. I said, uncle, old man, what is the secret? Is it a jog in the morning? Is it a cup of milk in the evening? He said, no, taraktu al-hasada fabaqitu. I don't harbor jealousy for anyone. I don't harbor jealousy for anyone. Allah gave me good health perpetually. I don't become sick. I often coat the scotch which makes my hair stand on end. I read it in one place in India. They say, aaj log apne dukh se dukhi nahi hai, doosro ke sukh se dukhi hai. Which means, today people are not depressed because of their pain and their difficulties, but rather they are depressed because of the prosperity of others. You are sick and depressed, what happened? Because he got a brand new car. You're looking so sick and so moody, what happened? Because his daughter got married to a wealthy boy. You are looking so miserable, what happened to you, my brother? Because his business is flourishing. Today people are not sick because of their pain and their agony. They are sick because they don't have the muscle and the strength and the ability to look at the prosperity of others. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. When Qabil killed his brother Habil, if you read in the tafsir, it was just not the first murder on earth, it was the first death on earth. So he didn't know what to do with his brother's body. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبَحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْأَةَ أَخِي. Allah sent a crow that dug into the earth and showed him how he must conceal the body of his dead brother. They say among the harms of a jealous person is غَمٌّ لَا يَنْقَطِعُ. He has unending misery. He has insomnia. He cannot sleep. Number two, مُصِيبَةٌ لَا يُؤْجَرُ عَلَيْهِ. The only person who is not rewarded for his difficulty is a jealous man. Every other man, Allah rewards him on your pain, on your difficulty, on your hardship, on your emotional trauma. But this man, it is self-inflicted. He has changed himself by his narrow-mindedness. May Allah save us. أَيَا حَاسِدًا لِي عَلَى نِعْمَتِي. أَيَا حَاسِدًا لِي عَلَى نِعْمَتِي. O jealous man over my bounty, do you know to whom you have showed disrespect? أَسَأْتَ الْأَدَبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You haven't been disrespectful to me or to him. Effectively, you have objected on the distribution of Allah. And you're saying to Allah that Allah doesn't know how to distribute. In one hadith Qudsi, it comes, مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ عَلَى قَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَى بَلَائِي فَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. What a painful word. He who cannot persevere on my difficulties, and he is not satisfied on my distribution, then Allah says to you, go look for another Allah who is more capable. You know, when the child comes and he says, Ibrahim's dad is a good dad, and Ibrahim's mom is so kind, what do we say? Tell that uncle he's got a new son from today. You must tell that uncle he's got another son. Go. You want money? No, go Uncle Ibrahim. Uncle Ibrahim is very good. Nothing of mine is good, my son. Then look for another father. Allah says, if you're only moaning and you're only groaning with your Allah, then see for someone else. Where are you going to go? Ya ma'ashar al-jinni wal-insi in istata'tum أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا
لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان.
Oh humankind and jinnkind, if you possess the ability to transcend the parameters of the heavens and the earth, and to go beyond the boundaries, and take amnesty in another earth other than mine, then go and do it.
إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان.
You cannot do so without proof and strength, and you lack it both. Again, the words of Abdullah ibn Urwa ibn Zubair, he said, amputate. When his leg was brought to him, he started stroking his leg, which was now separated from his body, and it was amputated. Remember my opening words? Three beauties. Beautiful sabr. That's what we're speaking about. I will hop around, but I'll bring you back to the point, inshallah. You know, sometimes you go shopping from one aisle to the other. In the end, you've got to buy your list and come back, but you've got to look around. But there is a point in everything. There is wisdom in everything. It's from Allah. He then gently started stroking his leg. And he said,
وَالَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَيْكِ فِي عَتَمَاتِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّنِي مَا مَشَيْتُ بِكِ إِلَى حَرَامٍ قَطُّ.
Oh, what thought provoking words. He said, my leg, by the will of Allah, you've been separated from me, and you are no longer a part of my body. But I look at you, and I only have memories to cherish. By Allah, I never put my weight on you and walked towards a strange woman. By Allah, I never put my weight on you and walked to a club or a casino. By Allah, I never put my weight on you and usurped the wealth of anyone.
وَالَّذِي حَمَلَنِي عَلَيْكِ فِي عَتَمَاتِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّنِي مَا مَشَيْتُ بِكِ إِلَى حَرَامٍ قَتُّ.
Allah knows when you were a part of my body, on you I put my weight, and to his masjid I walked. And then he said,
لَعَمْرُكَ مَا أَهْوَيْتُ كَفِّي لِرِيبَةٍ وَلَا حَمَلَتْنِي نَحْوَ فَاحِشَةٍ رِجْلِي وَلَا قَادَنِي سَمْعِي وَلَا بَصَرِي لَهَا وَلَا دَلَّنِي عَقْلِي وَلَا رَأْيِي عَلَيْهَا وَأَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَمْ تُصِبْنِي مُصِيبَةٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ إِلَّا قَدْ أَصَابَتْ فَتًا قَبْلِي.
Which one of us even has one clean organ in our body, my brother? Leave the organs. Our thoughts are polluted. Allah forbid the fantasies that cross our hearts and our minds. I say this on a lighter note, but it's a reality. My wife, because you live in and they understand you well, sometimes when some of the local radio stations play my lectures, and then she listens to it, she says, but you sound much more pious than you actually are. Are you the same person? You sound so pious, but I'm afraid it's not there. My brother, for me to thrill an audience here for 2 hours cuts no ice. But for me to exhibit the impeccable character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the reality. But to thrill an audience, to write a book, to present a documentary, you can master the skill and do it. Can any one of us look at any organ of ours and say, by the grace of Allah, this organ, this limb of mine has not been contaminated, has not been tainted, has not been polluted. I'm afraid if I look at my hands, it's polluted. If I look at my legs, it's polluted. If I look at my eyes, I wouldn't want to even dare imagine, oh my Allah, I am an existence of vice and sin. When the body is brought to the grave, an angel calls out, Ya ibn Adam, kharajta min al-turab, wa utta ila al-turab. خرجت بلا ذنب وعدت وكلك ذنوب. Oh man, so you are back now. If you trace your history, you started from sand. You've come back. The only difference is we dispatched you as a clean slate. And you've come back full of sin. We've dispatched you as a clean slate.
والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا.
When Allah sent us in this world, we were sinless. We didn't even have the faculties, leave alone committing any sin.
So he then sang this couplet. He said, by Allah, these hands have never advanced towards evil. لَعَمْرُكَ مَا أَهْوَيْتُ كَفِّي رِيبَةٍ وَلَا حَمَلَتْنِي نَحْوَ فَاحِشَةٍ رِجْلِي. My legs have never walked me towards vice. وَلَا قَادَنِي سَمْعِي وَلَا بَصَرِي لَهَا. My ears have never heard the voice of a strange woman, nor have my eyes ever looked at evil. وَأَعْلَمُ أَنِّي لَمْ تُصِبْنِي مُصِيبَةٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ إِلَّا قَدْ أَصَابَتْ فَتًا قَبْلِي.
And I take solace and consolation, if Allah has tested me, then there are many other people that are in greater pain than myself. Sabr Jameel. When he comes home, people come in numbers to come and console him. As Muslims, we have been taught to share in the pain of others. Inni mu'azzika. The poet says, oh my brother, I am consoling you. إني معزيك لا أني على ثقة من الخلود ولكن سنة الدين. I am not consoling you on the loss of your brother because I will live forever. No, I am consoling you because it's the teachings of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فما المعزي بباق بعد ميته ولا المعزى ولو عاش إلى حين.
Neither the person consoling nor the one being consoled will live.
وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِ.
This is life. Sometimes you are separated from an item, sometimes you are separated from an individual. One person built a very beautiful palace. He called a very pious man. He said, come look at my palace and tell me if there's any defect in it. He looked at the palace. He said, it's great, it's brilliant. You know, in English they say, the bigger the mansion, the more the tension. The bigger the mansion, the more the tension. He called him and he said, my brother, look at my palace and tell me if there's any defect in it. He looked at it, he said, yeah, there are two defects. So he got offended and he said, what do you mean? You know what, I had the best of architects and the best of builders. He said, the first defect is, this won't stay with you forever. And the second defect is, you will not own it forever. That's the reality. So anyway, when he got home and people came to console him, this is Sabr Jameel. Sabr Jameel. When they came to console him, he said, people, you shouldn't be consoling me, you should be congratulating me. You shouldn't be consoling me, you should be congratulating me. Then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me four sons. And Allah gave me four vital organs, two hands, two legs. لَقَدْ أَعْطَانِي اللَّهُ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْبَنِينَ فَأَخَذَ مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدْ وَأَبْقَى لِي ثَلَاثَ فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَلَئِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنِّي قَلِيلًا فَلَقَدْ أَبْقَى لِي كَثِيرًا وَلَئِنِ ابْتَلَانِي مَرَّةً فَطَالَمَا عَافَانِي مَرَّةً.
He said, Allah is so kind. Allah has taken one son and left three behind. Allah has taken one hand and left two legs and the other hand behind. When I get to Jannah, hopefully, I will have a son and an organ of my body to receive me at the doors of Jannah. When the Prophet ﷺ's blessed finger was injured in the battle, and for the Sahaba, Nabi ﷺ's finger being injured was more painful than them losing their lives. Remember that. So the Sahaba were very disturbed. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَهَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ جَمِيتِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيتِ وَهَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ دَمِيتِ. Don't worry, this is a finger only. That's the humility of Nabi alayhi salam. Otherwise that finger is the very finger that split the moon. That's not an ordinary finger.
That finger is greater than this world and whatever it has. The Prophet ﷺ was mounted on his conveyance. And the conveyance of Nabi ﷺ urinates. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiq, blocks his nose. And he says, oh, that's a foul smell, it's a stench. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, لَبَّوْلُ حِمَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَطْيَبُ رِيحًا مِّن مِسْكِكِ. Listen, the urine of the donkey of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more fragrant than your musk. Not the urine of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The urine of the donkey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَبَّوْلُ حِمَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَطْيَبُ رِيحًا مِّن مِسْكِهِ. Sahaba attempt over the finger. Nabi alayhi salam said, don't worry about my finger. وَهَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ دَمِيْتِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيْتِ. Whatever has come has happened for the pleasure of Allah. Sometimes in that month of Ramadan when it's extremely hot and it's scorching and you feel the thirst, it gives you that feeling of closeness to your Allah. Oh my Allah, I have nothing to offer to you. I have nothing to present to you. But yes, it is a hot day. Yes, the thirst is rather strong, my Allah, from your kindness. I often say, how can abstinence from food impress Allah when he never eats? How can abstinence from drink impress Allah when he never drinks? How can abstinence from conjugal relation with your spouse impress Allah when he doesn't have a spouse? Anna yakunu lahu waladu wa lam takun lahu sahiba. But it gives me the opportunity. So again, the point I was saying is, what is the first thing we need? Beautiful sabr. If we have this in our marriages, despite lacking the beautiful house and the beautiful car, but if we have beautiful patience, those marriages will last. Those marriages will hold. So the first thing Allah give us all is sabran jameel. Say ameen. The second thing the Quran says, فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. Learn to forgive. But Allah says, I don't want the ordinary forgiveness. I want the branded forgiveness. What is that forgiveness? In a beautiful way. How? That you can forgive without reminding people that you have forgiven. I read a very beautiful quote in one newspaper. They say, if you tell someone, I can forgive, but I cannot forget, it's just another way of saying, I will not forgive. Oh, that was deep words. That was profound. If you tell someone, I will forgive you, my brother, but I cannot forget him, it's another way of saying, I will not forgive. Forgive and forget. Allah gives and forgives. Man gets and forgets. Forgive and forget. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, مَنْ نَالَ مِنِّي أَوْ عَلِقْتُ بِذِمَّتِهِ أَبْرَأْتُهُ لِلَّهِ شَاكِرًا مِنَّتًا. The way I cried when I heard these words of his, and the way my heart poured dua for him, مَنْ نَالَ مِنِّي أَوْ عَلِقْتُ بِذِمَّتِهِ أَبْرَأْتُهُ لِلَّهِ شَاكِرًا مِنَّتًا أَأَرَى مُعَوِّقَ مُؤْمِنٍ يَوْمَ الْجَزَاءِ أَوْ هَلْ أَسُوءُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ. Whoever has insulted me or offended me in any way, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, unconditionally I have forgiven him and I have pardoned him. Why? For two reasons. I cannot imagine that a person's entry is suspended from paradise because I am withholding pardon. What did Imam Shafi say? I don't want to imagine walking before Allah and seeing that man standing at the doors of Jannah, and Allah says, because you haven't forgiven, he cannot go. I cannot carry that weight on my shoulders. I cannot carry that weight on my shoulders. Or, أَوْ هَلْ أَسُوءُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ. And that makes me fear. He said, the second reason why I have forgiven everyone, if I don't forgive anyone, I won't able to look my Nabi in his eyes. I won't able to look my Nabi in his eyes. How will I face my Prophet? My brother, you harbor in your heart against your brother, against your neighbor, against your cousin for years. Someone said it, life is too short. There isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to hate. Life is so short. There isn't enough time to love. I don't know where people find time to hate. أَأَرَى مُعَوِّقَ مُؤْمِنٍ يَوْمَ الْجَزَىٰ. Must I see that man's entry into Jannah is suspended because of me? أَوْ هَلْ أَسُوءُ مُحَمَّدًا فِي أُمَّتِهِ. I won't able to look my Nabi in his eye. How I won't able to look at him. So I rather forgive anyone and everyone. Someone came and insulted Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, my brother, if I am like what you said, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not like what you said, may Allah forgive you. Sahaba were those who knew how to diffuse situations. Today we infuse it, we ignite it, we spark it, we thrive on it, we sensationalize it. Sahaba knew how to diffuse it. The great woman of Islam, Asma radiallahu anha, Asma bint Umayyah, oh my word, what a woman. A woman that has even made the men of this ummah proud. A woman that has even made the men of this ummah proud. She, her first husband was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. She had three sons from this union, Aun, Muhammad and Abdullah. Then she got married to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she had a son from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then she got married to Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali was her brother-in-law, the brother of her first husband. Her first husband was Ja'far, and her brother-in-law is Ali. And then she got married to her brother-in-law after the demise of her first two husbands. While she was married to Ali radiallahu anhu, one day her two sons, her son from her first husband, Muhammad ibn Ja'far, and her son from her second husband, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. These two sons had an argument and had an altercation. And she's married to the third husband, Ali radiallahu anhu. So it's neither of his two sons. And we know how challenging it is with children's fights and arguments. Often it strains the relation, it becomes bitter, because one parent has an inclination to one, the other parent has another, and then the wife is saying, yeah, you're too harsh on him, and you're too stern on him, and you need to be more, you know, soft in your approach, and it just lends into a host of problems. So her two sons from her two marriages, they are having a go at one another. And what's the go? The one son, Muhammad ibn Ja'far, tells Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ وَأَبِي خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَبِيكَ. I am better than you, and my father was better than your father. Now, can you imagine how emotional a discussion? Because these two boys are orphans, their fathers are late, which was the first and the second husband, and she's now wedded to the third. What was the strength of maturity the woman of that time had? How profound and intellectual they were. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Asma, these are your two sons, and their fathers were your husband. Good luck to you, my wife. Women generally, when the son excels in academics or anything, my son. And when he drops, why don't you attend to your son? So he is her son when he excels, and he's my son when things are bad. Oh, what was the vision of Asma? I was talking, diffuse a situation. Diffuse it. Apply your mind. What's the correct way? Don't infuse. Diffuse. Umar radiallahu anhu is conquering Masjid al-Aqsa. They taking him around. People showed him one church. He walked into the church. They said, "Oh, Umar, why don't you pray your prayer here?" It was the time of Asr. Look at the vision of Umar. He said, "I don't mind praying here. But if I pray in your church, the Muslims will lay claim to this land. And they will say, our Khalifa has prayed here. We have the greatest right to this land. I don't want my action to contribute to a potential controversy, respecting the future controversy that could result from this. Rather, let me pray outside so that we can coexist in a harmonious way with our fellow non-Muslim citizens." I'm saying Sahaba was such, they didn't accommodate only the consequences immediately, the long-term consequences. What would happen in years to come? What would be the long-term implications of this action? So learn to diffuse. Asma radiallahu anha said, "Listen, my sons, don't get so personal. Ma ra'aytu shabban khayran min Ja'far, wa la ra'aytu kahlan khayran min Abi Bakr." You saying your father is better, he's saying his father. They said they were both my husbands and I love them both. The reality is, I will tell you, amongst the youth of Sahaba, oh my son, your father Ja'far, he was the best amongst the youth. And amongst the senior members of the Sahaba, your father Abu Bakr, he was the best person. So if you look at the youth, Ja'far radiallahu anhu was the best. If you look at the seniors, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the best. So then the husband Ali came, and what happened to me? Ja'far is the best from the youth and Abu Bakr is the best from the senior, and where is Ali radiallahu anhu? So she said, "You came third, so you third in the line." So what was the second thing? Learn to forgive in a dutiful way. Learn to forgive. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu was assassinated, and it had caused him great pain. And in a moment of emotion, he said, "I will avenge the death of my uncle and I will kill 70 people. Because so much pain was caused, he was very, very close to his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's four uncles seen Islam. Two embraced Islam, two did not embrace Islam. The four that seen Islam was Abbas radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam, Hamza radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam, Abu Talib, who did not accept Islam, and Abu Lahab, who did not accept Islam. Abu Lahab's name was Abdul Uzza, but he was known as Abu Lahab, but he vehemently opposed. Abu Talib did not accept, but he passionately supported. So there was obviously a difference between the two. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his emotion, said, "I will kill 70 people." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, comforted him and rescued him, and said, "No, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa in aqabtum fa'aqibu bimithli ma uqibtum bih, wa lain sabartum lahu wa khayrun lissabirin, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billahi wa la tahzan alayhim, wa la taku fi dayqin mimma yankurun." How beautiful is the Quran. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ. If you take revenge, then take revenge proportionate to the harm inflicted upon you. I must draw your attention here to a very key factor. The scholars tell us, safety lies in forgiving. While you have the right to retaliate, remember the help of Allah is with you as long as you don't overstep the mark. So if a person, provided what he did is permissible, if he swears you, you don't have the right to swear because that's unlawful. If he has given you a punch, then you can give him a punch of equal intent. If you give him a punch slightly harder, then remember, he is now the oppressed and Allah's help is with him, and he is the victim and Allah's help has shifted away from you. This is in the Quran. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ عَاقَبَ بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبَ بِهِ ثُمَّ بُغِيَ عَلَيْهِ لَيَنْصُرَنَّهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌّ غَفُورٌ. Allah said, remember,
وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا.
If a life has been lost on your side, and then you kill and mutilate, or you kill two, now the help of Allah has been shifted. You punch the man too and you said, "Yeah, Allah will show you." No, no, Allah will show you, my brother. Because Allah's help is not with you. So safety lies in forgiving. Allah revealed the verse, I will round up shortly. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you take revenge, then let it be proportionate to the harm that was inflicted upon you.
وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ.
And if you persevere, then that is the best. That's the general rule for the whole world. But for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasbir. You have to make sabr.
Oh my Allah, where am I going to draw my strength from? How am I going to see the man who murdered my uncle?
وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Only Allah can give you the strength of sabr, and Allah will give it to you so that you echo and advocate the correct message.
There were many other incidents, but I don't want to take up too much time so that we can digest it. The first thing I said is that we need to develop beautiful sabr. When Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam was facing the challenges with his children, he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm not going to moan or groan to Allah, I'm going to exercise beautiful sabr. Beautiful sabr, I don't moan or groan. The second thing is, فَصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلُ. To forgive in a beautiful way. What did I say? If you forgive someone and say, I'll forgive but I cannot forget, that's another way of saying, I will not forgive. One incident on this, and I bring it on the last point. When Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was reunited with his brothers, after years of division and discord, the Quran speaks about this in Surah Yusuf. Look at the diplomacy, the wisdom, the psychology, the vision, the integrity, the morality of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam.
وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَقَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا.
Listen to this very attentively. His parents were put on the throne. And what did he say?
هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا.
This is the vision and this is the interpretation of my dream. Allah has made it a reality. These were pious people and their dreams had meaning. Today, you know, we get excited over dreams, but really speaking, our dreams doesn't carry much weight. The other day I read in Kitab al-Zuhud of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah, under the chapter of Muhammad ibn Sirin, who was an imam on dreams, he said, اتق الله في اليقظة ولا تبالي بما رأيت في المنام. Learn to fear Allah and don't worry about dreams. Sometimes we want to dwell on dreams, and we want to love on dreams, and we don't know if it's a dream or we're fantasizing also. Allah made it a reality, Allah put them on the throne. When they were reunited, they told Yusuf, now you speak. You being the center of the family, Allah united us, there was so much division, discord, brothers were separated, we wanted to kill you and everything, speak. What did he say?
هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي.
He said, I would like to thank Allah for being so kind. Look at the word, diplomacy. For uniting us after the devil disunited us. He didn't say after you people created discord. Then furthermore, this is mentioned in Malik al-Quran. He said, Allah has been so kind that Allah released me from the jail. And he did not say, Allah is kind to me, Allah released me and granted me deliverance from the well. He only spoke about the jail. Whereas Allah had freed him from the well and Allah freed him from the jail. The scholars say, he did not want to touch on the word well because it opened up a bitter chapter in the history of the brothers. So if you're going to use the word well,
it's inflammatory, it's derogatory, it's painful. It could be a subtle insinuation. It could be a subtle hint to that evil. So he shut the chapter. He closed it. He didn't mention it. Not on a positive, not on a negative. He spoke about something else so that he doesn't remind his brothers of his wrong. Now that is what the Quran says. فَاسْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ Forgive, forgive in a beautiful way. And the last thing that the Quran tells us is of beauty. Allah says,
وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعْمَةِ وَمَهِّلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا
There are some people in the world you have to learn to ignore. But the Quran says, ignore them in a beautiful way. There are some people, they will not melt with your softness. They will not succumb to your diplomacy. Learn to speak to them and ignore them. Move on with your life, but ignore them in a beautiful way. Again, I tell you of the couplets of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh. Someone insulted him and told him some painful things, so he kept quiet. So someone told him, why don't you retort? Why don't you react? So he said, قَالُوا سَكَتَّ قَالُوا سَكَتَّ وَقَدْ خُوصِمْتَ قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ قَالُوا سَكَتَّ وَقَدْ خُوصِمْتَ قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ People have accused me and insulted me and I kept quiet. So he sang this couplet. And my friend are nudging me and telling me, say something. Why don't you speak? So that's what he says. They telling me you are quiet. Whereas they have offended you. I said to them, verily answering and responding will open the door of evil. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah say? If I respond, if I retort, if I react, it will open the door of evil. إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مِفْتَاحُ Furthermore, وَصَّمْتُ عَنْ جَاهِلٍ أَوْ أَحْمَقَ شَرَفٌ And for the record, it is an honor and a privilege to be silent when a fool speaks. So why should I become a fool with a fool? وَصَّمْتُ عَنْ جَاهِلٍ أَوْ أَحْمَقَ شَرَفٌ To react to a fool, to be silent when a fool provokes you, that is honor. In English they say, rather you are quiet and people think you to be a fool, than to speak and confirm it. Rather you are quiet, look at this man, he's a judge, he's a fool, he's so quiet. Rather you are quiet and people think you're a fool, than you speak and confirm it. وَصَّمْتُ عَنْ جَاهِلٍ أَوْ أَحْمَقَ شَرَفٌ To be quiet from a fool is an honor. وَفِيهِ أَيْضًا لِصَوْنِ الْعِرْضِ إِصْلَاحُ Listen to this very attentively. And not reacting to a fool and ignoring him, in that lies the preservation of your honor. What he means is, he is a fool. Nobody respects him in society. So even if he swears or use vulgar, he's got no respect to lose because he has no respect. But if you react, you have all the respect that you have and you lose it in 1 second. You will lose everything in that second. People said, you heard how that Maulana spoke. But you see, well, he says it to everyone, who's worried about him. But did you see how that person spoke? I was shocked off my feet. I lost my balance. I couldn't hear that vulgarity. So remember, silence to a fool, the preservation of your honor. Then he says, you might think I'm shying away. And I don't know, I cannot face him. No, no. أَمَا تَرَى الْأُسُدَ تُخْشَى وَهِيَ صَامِتَةٌ Don't you see a lion is feared even when it's silent? A lion doesn't have to roar to fear it. If you see a lion, immediately there's that instinct of fear. So although I'm silent, I'm a lion. والكلب يخسى لعمري وهو نباح. And a dog can keep on barking. People still throw and hurl stones at it. So let the dog bark. A lion will be silent and he will preserve his dignity. Learn to ignore in a polite way. There was a delegation that came from outside Medina to Medina. And they came and they were very impressed with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They accepted Islam. And they looked at the Sahaba. Their condition was about poor. So they offered some money. They said, can we give money? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's your choice. So they gave their money also. So Abu Jahl said, fools like this we've never seen. We're living with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for years. And we still have reservation in his faith. And we're still apprehensive to his concept. And we are too minded about his faith. And you come and in 1 second you embrace his faith and you give all your money. I think you should revisit your thoughts and you should reconsider. They realized these were fools. They didn't dwell with them. They ignored them and they said, we have made our choice, you have made your choice. You will live with the consequences of your choice, we will live with the consequences of our choice. Allah reveals the verse, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. When they hear absurdity being blurted by fools, they turn away in respect and dignity and they say, you have your choice, we have our choice. We don't want to indulge with fools. We terminate and move on. So the third message is the Quran says some you have to ignore in a beautiful way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill, infuse and imbibe within us these three beauties, that we become living examples of these beauties. And honestly, this is the rich legacy by virtue of which we can empower ourselves and others. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصير. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.